here and you can help me out, that would be awesome. Come on. I don't bite. They fed me breakfast. You're safe. Na 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 na. Have a seat. It's all good seats. You want to sit there? Hey, how you doing? Did you guys get enough to eat for breakfast?
Yes.
Yeah? Why don't you guys come over here? Wow. You're a little too old, Sue. Everybody wave to everybody. Hi. Well, we're going to start. I have a message for the old people here in a few minutes. But I need your help to get it started. And I want to start with a question, and I need help from you for the answers. So you ready for the question? What kind of things grow? What kind of things grow?
Peas.
Plants? What'd you say?
Green beans.
Green beans. Do you eat green beans?
Peas.
Good job.
Peas.
Peas grow?
Corn.
Vegetables. Pardon? People, you mean. Like you guys. Okay, that's great.
Vegetables. Vegetables.
Okay. Huh. You know, you have an idea?
Strawberries.
Strawberries grow? You ever see a balloon grow? Yeah, how do they grow?
You blow air into them.
You blow air into them.
Yeah.
Now, you guys talked a lot about plants, or different kinds of plants. How do plants grow?
Water.
Water.
Seeds.
Seeds. Soil.
Sun.
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 I brought a friend along. You want to meet my friend?
Yeah.
His name's Phil. He's a little tender here. Come on out, Phil. Yeah. Look at that. He grabbed onto his friend here. Yeah. There it is. Here's Phil. Isn't he pretty?
Yeah.
His last name's Adendron. Philodendron. Yeah, he has a plant, and he's pretty hardy. I haven't even been able to kill him. I let it go until he's laying over the side, and I put water in it, and it's great. A little fertilizer, but this is Phil. So I want to ask you a question about Phil. What kind of things do you think would be bad for Phil?
I know.
What?
Dying.
Yeah, dying's pretty bad for a plant. What do you think?
I think seeds is bad.
Seeds? Yeah, it could get a little crowded in there. What if I was to, would that be good for Phil?
No.
No.
You know, just take Phil like this and...
No.
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 Stop. Yeah, well... So Phil lost an arm. What do you think is going to happen to Phil's arm? What can I do to keep it alive? How can I do that? I could just stick it in dirt.
And soil and trivia.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, one of the other things you could do is you could keep this really wet, and the bottom would grow new roots. So, Carter, if I just put this in your mouth and you left it there for like 3 weeks, your mouth would get all full of roots. No, seriously, I did this. These are other arms that came off of Phil. And look what's in the jar. All those roots down there. So this is going to go into a pot like that. So I'm going to rescue Phil's arm. I'm just going to stick it down there in the water. So Phil's arm will be okay. Yeah, but looks aren't everything, you know? So Phil's going to be okay, okay? So say goodbye to Phil.
Bye.
Okay, so we'll just put Phil back here. So.
Phil's funny.
Yes, Phil's funny too, and he's a little smaller, weight loss. And that's a good thing. Now, the really good thing for the rest of you, for the rest of your lesson time, is Miss Carol and Miss Kelly back there, they're going to take you out to do something a lot more fun than I'm going to do with these guys, okay?
Okay.
I hope not. But so why don't you just go right down there and follow them out, and try not to be so loud that they can't hear me in here, okay? Go ahead. Go. I traumatized one of the children with violence right here in the sanctuary. Honestly, nobody was injured up here. Phil will be fine. His child will be fine. I've done this before. I'm highly trained at taking care of philodendrons. They're probably the easiest plant in the world to grow. They just accidentally grow. I have one in the laundry room. It's a size that's huge. And the only time I see it is when it's hanging down because it's screaming for water. But as I think about plants, I am fascinated with bonsai plants. Carol and I will go to Longwood Gardens, and they have this one place where they have all these bonsais lined up, and they are amazing. Some of them are 100 years old, and they're small and contained, and I'm just curious about it, intrigued with the whole process of taking something that's normally huge and making it very small. And I want to help you see that, and I have a couple of pictures I want to show you of bonsais. And most of them, at least on this display here, are 12 to 18 inches in size. And here's one. That one's 12 to 18 inches, but the next one will show you that they actually are that's inches, not feet. But they can be pretty small. I mean, they can go on counters. They can go on little stands. Or even smaller. Isn't that fascinating? A plant can be that little. And the really cool thing about bonsais is they're not little pieces. They're not like Phil's arm I cut off. They're like the whole plant. They've just been manipulated and forced in smaller spaces so that they're the exact plant, only much smaller, like an oak tree or cherry blossoms. They just have made them smaller. There's junipers, which are pretty big bushes, and they make them really, really small. Now, we just dismiss some little people, and they're little because they're young. They haven't grown up yet, and they will get bigger, and that's the goal, and I think all of us as adults, we understand the idea for them is to grow. We want them to become larger, mature, get them out of the house type thing, you know, because that's our job as parents, to raise them up and get them out of the house and to send them out as adults able to take care of themselves. And no matter how cute they are, they're not to be treated like bonsai trees. They're not to be constrained. They're not to be limited. But children are to be loosed to experience, to learn, to become the people that God designed them to be. And in the Bible, there's a verse that I want to show to you. And King Solomon, a very wise man, wrote this verse. And he wrote, "Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it." Now, as we read that, just as a quick read, what we hear is if we mold a child in a certain way, when he gets older, when he grows up, he will not turn from that way. So if we design a child to be a certain bonsai, when they get older, full size, they'll stay the way we design them. And I have a couple problems with that. The first is this idea of these proverbs. A proverb is a statement that captures what we observe in life. It's based on likely cause and effect. We see this and we expect that. Like if somebody twists your nose, you expect to get a nosebleed. And it happens, but not every time. And so it's a proverb. It's not a law. It's not a promise. Over the last several weeks, we have had the threat of rain. We see dark clouds and we recognize and understand that when you see dark clouds, you move your event inside because it's going to rain. And it usually does, but not always. Proverb, not a promise. Now, if we mold a child in a certain way, they probably will grow up to be the way we train them, expose them to. And we're pretty good with that, but sometimes they don't. They do something totally different. And there's this other thing about Solomon's verse here. There's another way to read this that I think captures what Solomon was actually saying. Now, when we read it, train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. This idea, this wording, allows us to understand and actually work to mold our children to become certain things so that they could become certain people when they grow up. I remember being trained in my house, and that didn't work. And I remember being trained in school, and that didn't work. And today, when people from back then see me, they go, oh, good thing you turned out in spite of. But, you know, it's not always the way. But this other way of understanding it, this rewording it, I think we could word the verse this way and not do anything wrong with what Solomon wrote. And it would be, encourage children toward their natural bent. And when they get older, they will likely blossom. This reading of this verse turns every parent into a master of observation as you literally study your child to figure out, who is this little thing? And why is it in my house? And what are we going to do with it? And what is its design? Now, those of us who have been parents, those of you who are parents, we know that every child comes with a manual on how to train it. How many got that when you brought your baby home? Yeah, you didn't. Well, you brought it home, the manual. It's on board. It's like all of our software now for our computers. You used to get those big, thick manuals on it. It's all on board. You have to figure out how to turn the thing on to get to the manual. That's how our children work. It's all on board, so we have to observe. We have to watch. And what we're looking for is their bent in life. What are they leaning toward? What do they prefer to do? We're looking for their natural wiring. What do you find them doing when you leave them alone? Now, I know sometimes it's scary what you find them doing, but what is it they repeatedly do? What are their passions? If you say, what do you want for dinner? And they always go, ice cream. You know they're passionate about ice cream. And the same thing with when we do things. Now, the second thing that this reading does is it turns a parent not only into an observer, but into a cheerleader. You see, once we figure out what a child is leaning toward, we want to cheer them on. We want to be their best fan to encourage their dreams and their aspirations. It's like Phil. Doesn't matter what I do with Phil, he's only going to be a philodendron. He's never going to produce rose blossoms. It's just not going to happen. Now, can we mold our children? Can we design them to be something that we want them to be? We sure can try, and we do. I've watched parents take children who were artistic and musical and make them try every single sport on the planet until they realize my child only gets hurt doing that, or until they rebel. And likewise, why do I want my child to play the piano? It's like, I took piano lessons for a while. My teacher said, save your money. Some of us don't have that bent. And so we listen to our children. We watch our children, and we fan the flames of passion and interest in them. Because at the end of the day, when we're waving goodbye to their children as they head off to college, head off into careers, we don't want to launch onto the world a bonsai. We don't want a small portion of what we wanted them to be. We want them to be full size. We want them to be the person that God designed them to be as He wove them together in mommy's womb. And so we encourage them. Now, as I think about why we're here today, one of the beautiful things that I observed as I've watched our daycare is the intentionality of our staff to help our children to dream, to become, to realize what's inside them. Something that's inside them looking for a way out. Now, there's some adults, maybe here at my church, I definitely know some out in my neighborhood that are bonsais. They've made it to 30 or 50 or 60, and suddenly they realize they have a passion that was there all along, and they missed out. Years, decades of singing in church, of serving in the community, of baking cupcakes, or whatever it was they wanted to do but couldn't do because no one cheered them on. Well, when I watch Sue 1 and Sue 2 and the Helping Hands daycare staff, and I'm in the building a lot, and I wander around, and I get to see what's going on. Our daycare has chosen to partner with you, the parents, to watch your children, to observe your children, to encourage your children. They're not their parents. They're not even substitute parents. They're tender gardeners, working with all the little fills that you drop off here in the morning or midday and that you pick up at the end of the day, somehow better because they've been together with loving staff here at the daycare. And this is what we're celebrating today. We're celebrating parents who are raising children. We're celebrating a daycare that's serving the parents that bring their children. We're celebrating a daycare that serves the children that are left here. And I want to remind you, when you read that verse in Proverbs 22, as we need to hear it, encourage children toward their bent. And when they get older, they will likely blossom. Will you pray with me, please? Father, this morning, as we think about raising children, as we think about our part in that process, I pray that each one of us who's part of that part here in this church, from the parents to the daycare staff, Father, I just pray your rich blessing on the raising of children. Might we recognize who you designed them to be, and might at the end of the day know that we've done exactly what you wired them to be as we encouraged and cheered them on. So, Father, bless us today as we continue to hang out in worship and then in food and in play later. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.